Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Golden Voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, July the 21st, 2022. 13 minutes past the hour, 75 degrees and sunny skies here in Marion. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. What a great guest there in hour number one, Cornelius Green, the first African-American quarterback to ever start for The Ohio State University. Now, does anybody remember Cornelius Green back in the 70s playing for Ohio State? And kind of all the upheaval there was when it came to having an African-American quarterback in those days. Can you believe death threats and things of that nature came his way? And the stories about Woody Hayes, how fascinating. Does anybody have any thoughts on the interview you just heard with Cornelius Green? 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz. We would love to hear from you. It's an interesting thing, life experience, that he must have went through. You know, I think yesterday we did the, yesterday when we did the story on Jim Thorpe, who was also a great athlete, and the things he faced in his life, and at the end of his life, how things did not turn out so great. And then I think about the life that Cornelius Green obviously had to go through. The road for athletes is not an easy road, because you go out there and you're cheered and the crowd loves you and your teammates love you and your coaches love you and the cheerleaders love you, and then one day the cheering stops and you have to get to regular life. And most people don't go on to play in college, and most people don't go on, even fewer go on to play in the pros. And it's got to be a striking feeling for these people who have been cheered for 4 or 8 years to all of a sudden have to have, I think, what we would all call a normal life. Very, very difficult. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts on this. 740-751-4038. Or the idea of racism. I think that that is, you know, when you think about that time period, that in Washington, D.C., it wasn't so much of an issue to be an African-American football player, but coming to Columbus, Ohio in that era, the 1970s, was a big deal. And many people told Mr. Green not to come, that there could be trouble, that Woody Hayes might not be playing an African-American player. Weren't the stories about Woody Hayes fascinating? What kind of coach he was, what he was like behind the scenes. I think that's fascinating as well, to learn those things. If anybody's got a comment, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz. I would love to hear from you. If you have any leftover comments yesterday from the Jim Thorpe interview with Bob Whitman, or if you have any comments or questions regarding the interview we just did with Cornelius Green, the first African-American football player for Ohio State. Do want to remind everybody that Glenn Coble will be on today from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, and then Adam the Computer Guy today from 2:10 until 3 p.m. But right now, the phone lines are wide open. Now, I got to tell you, this morning, I went through McDonald's like I normally do, and this is no new thing to anybody, but it's nice when it happens. I just ordered my large Diet Coke, so I'm going through the drive-thru, and as I'm going through the drive-thru, I get up to the window to pay, and the lady and I have my money ready, and the lady says, the car in front of you paid. And see, I'm never sure what you're supposed to do in that situation, because obviously my order was only $1.07. But I feel bad because they paid. Well, if I'd known they were going to pay, maybe I would have ordered more. But are you supposed to pay for the person behind you then? You know, how long does that go on? And like, if I am just ordering a pop for $1.07 and the car behind me has four people in it and they all got breakfast value meals that are going to cost $20, I mean, do you pay? Is it proper to ask what the bill is in the car behind you? Or do you just say, I'm going to pay that because somebody paid for my drink or meal? Has anybody been in these situations? What do you do when that happens? 740-751-4038. Well, what is the proper etiquette when it comes to that? You know, to me, I would think that it would depend on how much you are spending. Because if you're spending $1.07, even though it was a very nice gesture with the car in front of you, you know, it certainly was not a big bill. But the car behind you certainly could be a big bill. But let's say you ran up maybe two or three value meals yourself and somebody paid for it. Well, I think you'd be more inclined to pay for the car behind you. Does anybody have any etiquette in regard to this? 740-751-4038. Or is everybody just kind of quiet this morning? I think it's fascinating when you think about it. Let's see. What other things are going on in the world today? Well, I'll tell you. There's another story in the Marion Star regarding Marion City Schools. This has kind of been an ongoing thing that a lot of employees are quitting Marion City Schools. And the headline in the Marion Star reads, "Why are so many Marion City School employees quitting?" There are some different numbers on this at this particular point as far as how many people have left. Now, as near as I can tell, the numbers that I've seen, and I'm not saying that my records are exactly correct, but I think with teachers and administrators, there's something like 60 positions that need to be filled. So that's quite a few. Does anybody know the answer to this question? Because I think the school board is asking this question. I think the district is asking this question because I don't know that there's ever been a situation like this with Marion City Schools where in one school year they've seen a turnover of nearly 60 people. And I don't think you could say it has to do with Marion County because we have four other school districts and I don't think they're having issues like that. Now, if they are, let me know. And maybe they're just not being reported. I know there is somewhat of a teacher shortage, but I don't think it's 60 like it is in Marion City Schools. What do you think has caused this? 740-751-4038. Now, we've been covering the Marion City Schools all year because they have been in the news right as the new school board came in, two new members to the new school board. Back in January, you know, almost immediately, the former school board president resigned. And then we had the whole issue of replacing that school board member, which actually had to go to a judge for the first time in history. School board members have been replaced before, but it never had to be decided by a judge. It was decided by Judge Fregali here in Marion. Then we had the Columbus media come down here reporting on the discipline issues in the Marion City Schools, and that got all over the place. And then the assistant superintendent resigned right at the end of the school year. And then the superintendent resigned. And now, I mean, a lot of principals have resigned. Administrators have resigned. It's an interesting thing. Does anybody have a take on it? Because now we're here in mid-July, and apparently there's still something like 60 positions at Marion City Schools that will need to be filled before school goes back in. And I think it goes back in very, very shortly. You know, summer is coming to an end. The kids start now pretty much in late August. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts on this. It certainly is an interesting situation, to say the least. Has anybody read that story in the Marion Star? Is that one that came out in this morning's Marion Star? Or is that one of those ones that is just online right now and might come out in tomorrow's newspaper? I'm not sure how that exactly works. I know there's a little bit of a delay there. So I'm not sure if that's in today's newspaper or if that'll be in tomorrow's newspaper. Does anybody know if that story is actually in the hard copy of the Marion Star today? The story about the employees quitting Marion City Schools? Give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. It certainly is an interesting story. I'm not sure what exactly is causing the issue. Is it bad attention on the district? Is it people not wanting to work in schools in general? Is it something specific to the Marion City School District? You know, I'm not really sure. I don't know what has caused all this hubbub recently, but certainly there is something. 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts on that subject. You know, we've had a lot of people call in here and comment on school today versus school yesterday. You know, that kids, students, were more inclined to be punished by their parents when they got home if they did something wrong at school. And a lot of people feel this is not really the way anymore. Do you think there is a change in students, kids, in general, in the last 20 years? Or do you think possibly there's a change in parents? 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, the article about the teachers is in today's Marion Star.
Is it? What basically is the gist of the article?
Well, apparently nobody wants to work there. Now, you want me to give you the answer?
You know, it's an interesting, yeah, because we have four other school districts. Is this unique to that district?
Well, I think teachers and school employees are tired of putting up with the crap they have to put up with. And they're either going to have good teachers or they're not. And so we can really either reinstate a little discipline, because people can't even stand their own kids when they're misbehaving, let alone somebody else's. And I feel sorry for the teachers. Now, it looks to me like the writing's on the wall. There is a problem here. And you don't have to look very far to find out what it is. I mean, when bus drivers quit because kids can't, spit in their faces and so forth, and if the parents have to, have a meeting, and I can understand, because you ever go to Walmart and watch the way parents treat kids in Walmart? It's just a shame. You know, there's a very thin line between fear and respect.
But is this, you know, we all live in the same county, and there are five school districts, and I have not seen any stories in regard to anything at River Valley like this, Pleasant, Elgin, Ridgedale. nothing like this. Now, I understand Marion City is the biggest in teachers, but to have what I'm seeing, 60, when you count the administrators, 60 teachers and 60, you know, to combined administrators leave in one school year from that district when it's not happening to other districts in the same county, what's going on there?
Well, I think we probably know what really is going on. You don't have to ask, but the whole thing of it is, when we took discipline out of school, we took school out of school.
But do you think there's anything unique about Marion City?
I think it just got on a roll, and I think there's a lot of teachers that aren't happy. But once they got, they started says, "Well, no, we're not put." And they found that other teachers weren't going to put up with it. And so then they just says, "Hey, listen, I don't have to put up with it either. I'm not that hungry."
Well, it's interesting because now we do have the problem: 60 spots to fill in what's going to be just about a month or less than a month at this point. Is very difficult. Now, obviously, school will go on. I don't know what this will do to class size. I don't know if they will have mass hirings. I don't know what will happen, but what is the answer?
Sounds like we got to call the military in and start to march to the drummer.
Well,
that's the whole thing, Scott. People, they're not going to put up with that crap. Why would you? Would you want to go and have kids just literally... Well, I guess that's the reason parents aren't there, but it's just a shame. We had a principal when my kids went to school, and I'll tell you, when you walked up to the front or started up the step, now he worked hard here, and I'll grant you, but when you walked in and started up the steps, he was on the third floor, and you could hear him. And I'll tell you, those kids were afraid of him. I'll bet you there wasn't one of them. He'd be fired now, I know. You know, he would be fired now. But no one wants to discipline their own kids, but they don't want anybody else to discipline them either.
You know what's you know what's interesting, and I'm not just saying this because I spent some time in the Marion City schools, and it has been recently, and I was pretty much there on a day-to-day basis. You know, that just was not the experiences that I am hearing, and I'm not saying that they're making it up. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the experiences that they're having just were not my experiences. I didn't have that experience. Now, were there kids who lashed out a little bit? Sure, but that's been going on for many years. But
did they get to continue doing it?
No, it really didn't continue. I mean, you had kids who you knew were maybe came from homes that the parent situation was not that good, and maybe a threat to call mom and dad was not going to mean all that much to them. Mm-hmm. But by and large, I mean, the biggest problem were the problems that have always existed. You know, you get a bunch of kids together in a group to work on a project, and they're a little loud, and you got to tell them to be quiet. Or maybe they get off topic because they're talking about what they did at lunch. You know, those sort of things. There was nothing like spitting in faces or...
So did anyone ever spit in your face?
No! No, this experience, and I'm not saying that it didn't happen for those people, but there was never a physical altercation. There was never anything where I would have even made me angry that happened. You know, so I that's what I'm trying to figure out here is why am I not having this experience? Because I pretty much 5 days a week. On the normal school schedule for the last 3 years, I've been in and out of there, and I just don't know what if this is something that's happening with younger kids. Is this something that is happening? I don't know. I just wonder if it's a small percentage that's getting all the attention. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Well, I do know when my kids started to school, kindergarten, and you went in for the first day, she laid down what the rules were. They will go out. You better show them how to put their boots on. You better show them before how to take care of themselves in the bathroom. And you better do, because that's your job. You should have done that before they ever got here. My job is to teach them to read.
Well, I'll tell you something that's interesting, because speaking specifically to the superintendent, who I believe leaves at the end of this month, Mr. Arusi, that in regard to radio, because I've had more interactions with him on radio than I ever had in the school, but as far as a guy, when the pandemic was going on, when decisions had to be made, when there was anger over the masks, when the media was coming down here, Dr. Arusi never denied an interview with me to talk in front of the public and answer tough questions. He never said, don't ask me about that. He never...
He was. Well, it's kind of like Kai Mead. I really, really liked to listen to him when he was on, and I thought, well, man, we'll get young blood in here. And it wasn't like he was a snot kid, was going to come in and change the world. But it's just sad. And then when they start talking about a charter city, now can you imagine 12 people getting together and agreeing on something?
Well, that's what I want to talk about the charter city here in a second. But the final note on Dr. Arusi is, you know, and again, I wasn't at these meetings, but when Tara Dyer came on the radio, so it's not like it's a secret, and said that one of these new school board members told her his goal was to make sure Dr. Arusi wasn't there. You know, that I don't know that that is happening at other school districts. And I don't know why the school... I don't think we'll ever know why the school board president resigned so quickly after the two new board members came in. You know,
well,
I'm not...
even dumb people can kind of almost figure that out.
Well, yeah, but... And then they could... You know, we had... Tara Dyer was, I think, a 35-year teacher in Marion City Schools, and the school board could not agree on making her the new board member. That had to go in front of a judge?
Yes. So how can you amend Charter City?
Well, and that's the thing about the Charter City is, you know, I think what city council is probably thinking, and I'm not a mind reader, but this is their last chance to catch that before it goes in the public, because once they allow it to be put on the ballot, then comes this 12-member board to come up with the charter, then comes the construction of the charter, and then the people has to vote on the charter, the people of the city. Now, how would a consensus vote ever come down on a charter? And this ends up almost being a two-year process.
Well, it would probably never. I mean, if you got four school board members that can't decide on a replacement, and it has to go before the judge, that's four people. What would you do if you had 12 people trying to decide something?
Well, and you've probably heard Brett on here a couple times, and Jason, has your question been answered as to why we need a charter city?
No.
Okay, so what do you think? Because maybe Brett is listening. You know, he seems to listen. What is he not conveying? Because he does seem to be the one who's very high on this idea.
Well, and he didn't he just go on city council in January?
Yes.
Well, apparently he went through the learning curve pretty fast.
Well, you know, that's a whole nother question. Do you think, because this, you know, Brett feels one way, and I think other people feel a different way. When you're a city council person, should you be responsible for asking questions on how things go, or should should people who have been there a while just feel compelled to inform you on how things go?
If I was going to run for office now, I'd be going to board meetings prior to see if I really wasn't involved in that situation. I mean, why would you go in green?
Well, it's just interesting to me because when that whole thing with the COVID shot, the employees getting $1,000, lapsed into law or lapsed into a vote of yes, just because city council did not vote within 30 days, a lot of that now, I think Brett blamed it on people on council who knew that was going to happen, who didn't say that. Now, do you feel they should have said that, or should people like Brett and the other new council members who didn't know it, was it their responsibility to know it?
Yeah, yes, it was their response. I mean, if they're going to take the job, you know, that wouldn't be like you take somebody off the street and try to teach them or send them in to teach kindergarten kids, would it? It's all the same. How do they know they even want to be on the board if they don't keep up with it? We probably got listeners calling in here that knows more what's going on in the board than that, just because they listen to it and they're just interested.
Well, and I tell you, I think it's fascinating that when we got that number from City Hall that only 27% of the board meetings have been attended by all city council members, and it was interesting because I don't think Brett had heard that, and when he started as to why Monday's special meeting was canceled, it was because our city council members could not make the meeting.
Now, I'll bet you when Jack Kellogg was there, I bet he probably scheduled his life around that meeting.
Well, I think a lot of people do. Now, I'm not saying people don't take vacations, and I'm not saying that people don't have other jobs, and I'm not saying that sicknesses don't happen. But, you know, this apparently is becoming a very big problem when you've only got four meetings all year and we're more than halfway through the year in which all members have been there.
And see, those are the same people that send their kids to school but skip school.
So what in the end do you think Marion City is going to do? Obviously, they're going to operate, but where do you find people to fill these 60 spots?
Well, you just have to be a little bit when you go, and it's the time. I understand that. Because if I don't want to do it, I don't have to. Well, yeah, if you made the obligation, yes, you do have to. And it's just the way the world is. If I don't want to do it, I don't have to. And that's not the way it ought to be.
No.
So, you know, they took the job, and that is a very respected job. I mean, you wouldn't think that you'd have to beg to get people on council. But there ain't nobody wants to volunteer for anything. If I'm not going to get something back in my pocket, I'm not doing it.
Well, and that has become an issue. You know, the final thing here is any of this to be blamed on the school board? Because when the school board change happened in January, it did seem, you know, and I'm not saying it's in correlation to that, but is that just a coincidence that in the preceding 6 months that all this has fallen apart?
I don't know, but it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
I don't know what the big issue is there.
It's too bad, because if adults feel this frustrated, how does kids feel?
Well, and that's the thing, you know, when parents read these articles and kids see this, I mean, what do they think?
Well, if they ever have an evening meal together, and I'm sure it's discussed, and there's, you know, obviously the kids think that mom and dad knows, and that's the way it ought to be, but it's just a shame. The whole way around, you can't get anyone to do anything unless they're getting something back in for themselves. And that I always said, if you donate blood, your kids will. If you vote, your kids will. And if you volunteer, your kids will.
I think it's going to be interesting times, because I just don't know when this thing in Marion City is going to get sorted out, because the school board's going to have to agree on the hiring of a new superintendent. They're going to have to agree on, you know, they have to approve these positions, and I don't know how that's going to go. Getting people to agree now is a very, very difficult thing.
Well, because everybody has their opinion, but what are they going to do with kids if they didn't have teachers? I mean, you know, a good amount of teachers there at school.
Well, that's
it. Are they just going to hope for more homeschooling?
Well, I wonder if there is any, you know, rancor at all in Marion City schools right now because of those articles that went out because the Columbus media came down here and did this story on discipline, because of the way the school board meetings are going, in which, you know, the teachers were showing up with T-shirts and crying. And I mean, it's a horrible sight to I mean, it's horrible that it happened. If it happened, these things to these teachers, you know, that's going to have an impact on the schools. And again, what I, you know, people will say, well, it goes on everywhere. Yeah, I don't know that it does.
Either that or it don't make the papers.
Right, and if it doesn't, why is that? You know, why is all the attention focused in on Marion City Schools? What's the difference between a student at Elgin and a student at Marion City Schools?
Well, I suppose Elgin has their problems too, but apparently they take care of them themselves. And someone's letting Columbus know what's going on here, or they wouldn't just drive up to do a check.
Well, I will tell you this. You know, I know the people at the Marion Star very well, and they have two reporters. And if somebody doesn't hand them, I mean, obviously they know about plane or car crashes and things of that nature because that press release has come out. But when it comes to anything else that's being reported on, somebody is tipping them off because they don't have the time to go out and find stories like that. And if they weren't in the meeting, and they don't go to every council meeting or commissioner meeting or certainly school board meetings for five different school boards, and certainly the Columbus media was not here for the school board meeting of Marion City Schools, you know, why is it, what society do we live in now where somebody from our own city feels that that's the way to fix the problem? Alert people so it will get more attention, and then what? Well, how does that fix the problem?
I don't know. People have strange ways of wanting recognition. It's sad, and you know what's the saddest? Is in little kids.
Yeah, in the end, what is it going to do to them? What is the end result? You know, we're coming off a pandemic where so many kids missed so many days of school and had to do remote learning, and we're just...
And nobody was home with them?
And a lot of kids did not have internet. You know, I can speak to that firsthand. You know, everybody thinks everybody's got an internet at home, and they don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. All I can hope is that it gets better, and I'll do what I can do to make, you know, if it's any, no more than let someone out of crowded traffic that was waiting to get out at Wendy's. If you just can do one thing to make somebody else's life easier, you'll sleep a little better tonight.
Well, and I'll tell you, you know, somebody said recently, I heard, that the secret to life, because everybody wants to know that the secret to life is to give of yourself and give to others.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we've all quite learned that lesson.
Well, I think, Scott, people don't understand what little bit it takes to give to someone else. It's not like you have to give a whole bunch. You know, like I said, just let somebody out in the traffic. You know, look both ways so there's not an accident. But, you know, just stop and let them get out. And every one of us has pulled out in front of somebody and shouldn't have pulled out in front of them. But if you just do one tiny little thing, pick up a piece of trash and throw it in the trash, or you see somebody and tell them good morning. That's all you have to do.
You know, did you hear the interview with Cornelius Green this morning?
Yes, that was very, very good.
Well, I think about, because that's a school story, and mm-hmm. What's interesting to me is when he said he was getting these death threats and he was getting these racist remarks, that it never came from the team. And isn't it interesting that when he started to win, it all stopped?
Mm.
You know, because everybody wants a winner.
Yeah.
So is this really about, I don't know. Does winning trump all? Is that really what the goal is? If you win, you trump. If you feel you've won, you trump. I don't know. I can't figure it out that you would send somebody a death threat 1 week, and then because they won the football game, all of a sudden you love them.
I don't know.
And that was going on in the 70s.
Like our old lady say, this world today and then tomorrow's another one.
So. That's right. Hopefully we get these problems solved. Well, thanks for calling.
Hey. Thanks, Scott.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, I thank that caller for calling in. I enjoy hearing what you have to say because heaven knows I'm not always right, and heaven knows the guests aren't always right. But callers have a very unique opinion on things. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Can you get the editor of the Marion Star on again, or do you have, I have a phone number for him, but do you have like an address? Because I had sent something in January, and I just got it back for the editor here in Marion.
Right.
And they put unclaimed, and then I had sent one, I think, a couple months ago. So I guess in 6 or 7 months I'll get that letter back. But when you call anymore, the Philippines are the ones that, I think it used to be at Mansfield, if you had delivery problem or something, it was taken care of in a day. But now it's the Philippines, and you can't get anywhere with them. And I just wondered if you're going to have him on any time or...
Well, I could. I mean, I do have a connection with him via the Internet. Is there a problem that you're having?
Yes, it's like delivery mostly because... the thing is today, usually when I get up at 6, it's there, and I was numerous times going out, and then I look, and I don't know how it got behind my bin on the porch, you know, your recycling bins. I don't know how it got down there, and then I didn't have one a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't, you know, called, and they give you credit, well, I want the paper, and I looked, and here it is in a bush out front, I guess where they tossed it. It didn't hit the porch, so I thought I didn't get it. And then a couple weeks later, here I find it, and they'll throw it, and then in the snow, you think you didn't get it. When the snow melts, there it is. It's like going on a scavenger hunt looking for this paper all the time.
How much is a subscription now to the paper copy of the Marion Star?
I believe it's like $20-some, but I pay $11.
Isn't that something?
Well, a couple times I stopped it. I said... getting it about 50 years most of the time, and then I said this third time I stop it, it'll be permanently. And I have his name, like Lanka.
Yeah, Ben Lanka.
L-A-N-K. Yeah, and I know you had him on a couple years ago, but I remember another lady called in. She said it was like going on a scavenger hunt, and I remember Charlie, the trucks, I don't know if they put up those red mailboxes, those Marion Star boxes anymore, or they just drop them by your mailbox. But here, if it's so light, if it gets in the yard and it blows in a neighbor's yard, I'm not going to go get it and, you know, excuse me of, what do you call it, stealing it. And then I wanted to know, I have some clippings out of the papers. I recycle them. Do you want these clippings in the last, I'd say, couple of weeks?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, if you put, apparently, I think you put them in the mailbox last time. I got those just
like. Yeah, before I sent them, but the envelopes were so thick. But I have a question. As long as I get the paper, do you want me to toss it there at your business, just on the porch? Because I don't go up those steps. You want me to toss it to you, the whole paper? Because I just put it recycle.
Oh, yeah, because I think we'll get it, and I think there's a lot of interesting stuff in there that would be, and I'm going to be back in the office on July 31st, so I'll be over there every day.
Well, by that time, I might stop it. But I was going to tell you, on the front page, it's got 40, well, I didn't listen to your show because I had a phone call. It's got 40 school employees resign. That's on the first page.
Yeah, what do you make of that? That's what the last caller was talking about.
The thing is, I was telling you one thing about the restrooms. That to me, the kids, they've got so many programs about this and that. They're not learning basics like, well, by far stick. There'll be somebody at a university, and they'll ask, they even asked who was Obama's, you know, vice president. They didn't know. They're college students. They're teaching so much other stuff. They're not teaching, I think, geography. They quit teaching that years ago. And they're not supposed to be teaching writing. And how can you read the Declaration of Independence? I don't know if you could or not. A lot of that stuff's in writing. They're trying to, me, they should just teach the old way. Do the basic math, history, you know, cover all that stuff. And if they want to put a program in the schools, do one about the bullying. Because I think this last one, what was it? They said yesterday on my far stick, I think if it's four or more, they call it mass shooting, I think, in the United States, I don't know if it was in a day or a week, they had 150. They won't be killed, you know, they might shoot 60, and out of the 60, four die. There has to be at least four, and then it's mass or something. I think what they should do is, you know, the mass shootings and stuff, they need to, because this last one, I think the one that, I'm trying to think, because I've been watching that one that did it in 2018. He shot through 17, killed him, and I don't know how many he injured. They had the students there saying all their, you know, what they had. Some had four surgeries or more, and they watch all these kids die, and there needs to be a stop put to that. But the last one, I think most of them say they were bullied, practically all of these, and they're all white kids doing this. So they need to, if they're going to start any kind of program in school, they need to start from first grade doing bullying, you know. You don't do that. And I would say, you know, like people more affluent maybe would bully the ones didn't have as much. I don't know. And once I thought, well, maybe all the kids should be bullied in school, you know, the rich ones and the poor ones. But then that would start something. But what I think they need to do, if all these schools, the classrooms, had one of those TVs where you could watch it and stuff, and if it had one in that classroom and seen where he was or something, and, I mean, standing out there, that didn't make sense at all. And because they watch the police like crazy. They have these auditors that go out, and they hound them to death. They won't listen to anything the police say. And they need to watch the teachers, too, in the classrooms. And if these classes did have that, they could have seen where that person was and where to go, you know, and what to do. I don't know. But, and everything. But, and stuff. But I know my cousin was a valedictorian of our class. And she retired, I think it was 30 years. She might have taught a few years over. She, I think, started out fourth grade. And then she went to first grade. And I, because she was always a book person. And I said, well, why don't you substitute or why don't you tutor? And she said, no way. And this isn't even in high school. This is fourth grade and first grade. And she's been retired like 20-some years, about 26, 27 in there. She said, no way. But when I'm out and I did see the kids in public, they don't listen. You know what I mean? So it would be hard for a teacher. You have several kids that don't, I mean, I don't know. It's just so, but some person's going to tell me, I told you that one thing about the bathroom. And if I talked, she said, no, there's a lot of stuff going on. So when I kind of find out, I'll tell you, but I'm not going to say on the radio all the stuff.
No, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, when I graduated in 61, our sixth grade, we had the central, and they went fifth grade, then we sixth grade. But our principal, and then he became our superintendent. Let's see, he's about 6'6". He probably weighs about 350 pounds. We had high school boys that were over 6 foot. He took them, and he paddled them. I mean, when you thought you were going to get paddled by him, you didn't do much at all. So, and I don't know about paddling kids, but kids aren't made to mind anymore. They more or less tell the parents what to do. So, and you can imagine they're not probably going to listen to a teacher. So, I feel for the teachers. I really do, because no time, if two parents are working, they don't have time to spend really with the kids and stuff. And they're not taught manners. They're not taught anything anymore and like respect and stuff. So it would be hard to be a teacher, I would think.
It's been an interesting situation, but as I was telling the last caller, you know, for the last 3 years, I've pretty much been at Marion City Schools 5 days a week doing things. And that just has not been my experience, what I'm hearing. Now, I'm not saying that they're wrong and that it's not happening to them. I'm just saying it, you know, to be there 5 days a week for the most part for 3 years, those things aren't happening to me and aren't happening to the people that I work with and aren't happening to the students that I'm with. So I don't know where the big disconnect is. I don't know if it's a small group of people getting a lot of attention. I don't know. I've always found the kids there to be, you know, fun and smart and creative. And I mean, yes, everybody has a bad day, but it's never deteriorated into anything awful.
Well, I'm wondering, when the teachers have a problem, you usually send them to the principal's office. And I'm wondering if there's not anything being done there. That's what I'm wondering, and the teachers are getting tired of it. And, I mean, some of the kids, I don't have any grandkids or anything, but from what I see of some of the kids, I can just, it's just like in school, you know, I can just imagine it and stuff. But when you get a few in a class that you have a hard time trying to get to mind, and you can't teach the other kids. So if some of that's the problem, they need to just get a separate class or something. That I'm just going to say troublemakers, and put three or four classes of them together, like 4, 5, 6, and let one teacher teach them. But they need to put a TV. If I was sending a child to school now, and from all this stuff, I think with everything else, the teacher should have they can get on the computer and, like, people can monitor their baby, a babysitter at home, you know, and different stuff like that. I think that should be one of the things they put in the school. And then if there had been some kind of a TV thing in that one class, I don't know if he killed most of them in that one classroom, but they could have seen where he was. To me, that's just logical. You go right in. I mean, to know where he is in a room or hallway or something, I think they all should have, like, those cameras. And that way they would know. I mean, the security guard, from what I'm getting of that one, he wasn't any use at all. If you had the cameras, they could have went in right then and knew. Where was he? They were in that mall or something, and that he was 22, and he happened to have that. You're not supposed to have your gun in the store. I don't think there was signs saying not to, but he had his on him, and they said within 15 seconds he took him out.
Right.
He had already killed.
I hope you tune in tomorrow, because we're out of time. Glenn's going to get angry if I don't.
I had a call today, so I couldn't hear. I couldn't listen.
Hopefully you're able to listen tomorrow and call in, because if I don't get out of here, Glenn's going
to
get.
You're listening to Debbie
holding him up.
Oh, that's okay.
Glenn can get upset. We don't care.
Yeah, no.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
All right, Glenn Coble coming up next. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WDH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series.